Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
And shots, broadcaster, you hear her on women's college basketball, most of all, across a spectrum of networks. She's just about everywhere, ESPN, Pac-12 networks. Wherever you see a women's college basketball game, Ann Schatz is there as an expert. She's also a competitor. She's passionate about what she does. She cares about people, and she's joining us now. Ann Schatz, how you doing?
John, good to hear your voice.
You too.
Thank you. I'm doing A-OK and staying above the fray, buddy. How about you?
You know, we got into this discussion earlier this week on the show about middle school, junior high school PE classes. And everybody can remember their PE coach from middle school or junior high. And tell us about your middle school PE experience.
Well, mine was a little different in that I went to... where I grew up in Omaha, it was a very Catholic city. And so I grew up in a Catholic household, so I went to a Catholic grade school, 1 through 8. So the dynamic was a little different. But I remember this vividly. And it's really interesting you bring this up, because as much as things fail me now, memory-wise, man, like yesterday, I remember, John, you know, you had designated days that you were going to get to go and do the structured PE class. And I would feel about 15 minutes before that class, I would get nervous like I would get later on in my world before a big game in high school and college. I actually got those kind of butterflies and nerves because I knew we were going to play dodgeball, or I knew we were going to play, at the time it was called Kill the Man with the Ball. I know it, goofy as hell, but we were going to get after it. And I would get so excited and so just hyper psyched for that hour to be able to change into the gear and go and just lay it all out there, you know, for stupid stuff. I mean, just stupid, silly stuff, but that's how much I loved it. And I remember it like it was yesterday.
We used to run the mile for time.
Oh, and, gross. You did?
And basically, you know, it's not like we were training for this thing. Coach McConnon would just take us out there. He'd line us up, do roll call. He'd say, all right, everybody on the track. And then he'd say, we're going to run the mile for time. And then away we went, like, you know, with half the class probably throwing up 2 laps into it. I look back on it. My times weren't bad. You know, I was one of the better runners. My times were not bad, Ann Schatz. That would surprise people.
What were they? I'll tell you if they were good or not. What were they?
I was under 6 in 7th and 8th grade, but I ran a 5:28 as an 8th grader. Yeah.
Okay, so how come Coach Mac, whatever his name is, come Coach Mac ain't pulling you aside saying, son?
Yeah, he did.
We need you on the track team.
He did. I did. I did 7 sports in junior high. I did every sport they offered because I must have liked being at school. How many sports did you play growing up?
Well, they didn't offer very many for girls back in the day. And I continue to date myself, but I love being on your show so much, I don't care. So just to give you an idea, growing up back then in the 60s, and early 70s, they didn't have a lot of sports for girls. So that's why that hour, they didn't have track. They didn't have anything. When I was in 8th grade, for the first time in my life, because I switched schools, I got to be on a quote-unquote organized basketball team, but not until 8th grade. And same with softball. So there weren't very many opportunities. So you doing your deal with the 7 sports is so cool. Yeah. It's so cool. And I hope your girls, if they gravitate towards sports at all, I want, John, I'm telling you, and I'm gonna ask you about this over the years that are gonna come upon us quickly.
Okay.
May you encourage your girls to be multiple sport kids if they're so inclined. Because any coach, I don't care, D1, D2, 3, NAIA, if they've got a heart and a soul, they're going to understand that multiple sport kids are going to be, they don't have to specialize to be great for their program once they do get to D1, to whatever university. Let them play a bunch of sports just like you did, John, just like you did.
It's really interesting because I think, like, you know, I can only speak for my kids. I don't know if they're going to have the recognition or maybe the awareness that to realize that, hey, this wasn't available. I haven't, like, you know, for example, I have an aunt who is was a longtime school teacher, and she wanted nothing more than to be like the next Barbara Walters. That's what she wanted to do and wanted to be with her life. And she got talked out of that, you know, and I thought to myself, that's a shame because nobody would ever do that to a kid today, you know, and she's now in her 80s and she says, you know, I wanted to be a journalist. That's what I wanted to be. But I wonder, like, opportunity wise, did you feel like the door was open for you? Like you could be anything you wanted to be, or were you swimming upstream?
Both. I felt like I needed to nudge the door. I felt like I needed to be the first one to nudge it and push it. And, you know how you'll see in cartoons or, you know, a little kids animated show where, you know, the funny trickster will poke his head around the door and see what's out there before he goes through.
Yes.
That's kind of how it felt. So you'd nudge it, and it was up to you to nudge. John, it was up to me to nudge. How badly do you want it? You have no idea what you want, but something's out there. You can feel it in your gut. You want something out there, like your aunt. How badly do you want it? You nudge it. You push it open. You put your little head around that door. Do you see friend or foe? And there's going to be both. And you find those friends, and off you go. And I wish to God that your aunt, give her a hug for me, I wish your aunt had somebody in her ear saying, come on, do it, do it, do it. You got this. Do it. Like I did.
Ann Schatz, broadcaster. You hear her on women's college basketball in particular. Sabrina Iodescu leaves Oregon. Michaela Pivick was at Oregon State. I had both on the show this week.
I know it.
And Pivick in particular, she says she doesn't need all the attention. And I wondered if Sabrina Ionescu had never come along, would we be talking about Michaela Pivick more?
We'd be talking about her more, John. And I love the fact that you bring her up. She is an absolute treasure. It would be different, decidedly different, because there's only one Ionescu. This is a generational player that is not supposed to come along very often, and we'll see that to be true. Ionescu is just a different cat. But had Sabrina, let's say, you know, it was coming down to Oregon and Washington. I remember chatting with Mike Neighbors when he was still at Washington right before Sabrina made her announcement. And, you know, if you think about that shifting to a UW commitment changes everything. Pivick would certainly be getting a lot more attention, but nothing like Sabrina has gotten. No.
What does Oregon look like without Sabrina next year?
Oh, John, it's going to be so fun to watch Kelly Graves do his thing. Your interview with him, your interview with Pivick and Sabrina, so great, because it allows folks to get to know them as humans, you know, and not just rote answers about just athletics. So cap off to you, tip of the cap to you, my friend. But let's get back to Oregon basketball. So, you know, John, regardless of sport, there are all of these services that rate these high school kids, 5-star athlete, 4-star athlete, you know, super gold this, number 2 in his or her class at the point guard position, nation. I mean, you've got that stuff all over the map. But who are these people grading some of these kids? You got to be careful about how much credence you put into what folks are calling, who folks are calling 5 and 4-star athletes, whatever, can't miss, you know, going to be a game changer. Got to let these kids come in. You and I have talked about this, breathe and be themselves. That said, Oregon's got the number one class, John, and you gotta think that one or two of those kids, they're not going to be Ionescu, but one or two of those kids could be another Ruthie Hebert. They could sniff a little bit around the greatness of Sabali. I think Kelly Graves may have a year next season where they lose a few more than we're used to seeing them lose, because there's going to be so many youngsters in the lineup, but he's going to get them back to greatness very quick. This is what I think I think Kelly Graves relishes this kind of opportunity, because he gets to mold these kids, see what they bring, let them be them, give them freedom, spirit, spunk, but mold them, and let's see what happens. I think it's going to be fun as heck.
Destiny Slocum is a free-willing player, fun to watch, very creative. I couldn't tell if she just didn't fit at Oregon State or if there was something else going on. Maybe she just likes to bounce around, but she's in the transfer portal. She's going to leave Scott Ruick's program. He's got front court players. She's a great back court player. It leaves them in a uncomfortable position. What's your read on Slocum and why she didn't fit at Oregon State, or maybe why she didn't work out?
Yeah, and I think it's why she didn't work out is the money ball question. I think she fit in many ways, but perhaps not in a way that felt comfortable for her. You know, John, if you go back and look at, remember she sat out that first year due to transfer rules, so she got to know the system, and Scott's system is, you know, it's very intricate and very front-loaded with information, and man, you got to show up, pay attention, and learn in order to thrive. Destiny, incredibly intelligent player, sitting back, learning that first year. But then if you look at the year that she became eligible to play, if you will, that 1 year is come and gone, and now she gets to play. Initially, there were a lot of games, John, in the fourth quarter, if it was close, that you would look over and see Destiny Slocum, on the bench. And it was because her defense wasn't where Scott wanted it to be. And many players in the Oregon State system will tell you, you've got to play defense for Ruick. Scotty's going to demand defense, or you ain't going to play in crunch time. And, you know, I watched Sydney Weiss go from just a really lousy defensive player to a pretty good defensive player for Ruick by the time she was a senior. Slocum gets 2 years with Ruick. That first year, she was on the bench a lot in crunch time. Not quite as many times her second year, last year. Excuse me, this particular season, not on the bench as much. Her defense got better, but she was still riding the pine, maybe a little bit more than she'd like when games were on the line. I'm just supposing, and I love Ruick. I love the Beavers. I'm not dogging anybody, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud, perhaps that was a factor.
We're talking to Ann Schatz, broadcaster, Pac-12 Networks, among other places. How do you get ready for a game? How do you get ready when it's game time?
Oh man! Well, fortunately, you've got your game schedule in front of you, so you know what's coming. You know, by mid-October, you know what games you're going to be doing all the way up and through tournament time. So you know to start prepping early, buddy, and it's all about getting the grunt work done quickly and efficiently, and that is rosters, pronunciations, stats from last year, and then you start digging as much as you can for every kid to get those nuggets that the viewer is going to enjoy and might not have been, you know, privy to, that you can say, hey, did you know? Or, hey, here's why this factoid really comes into play at this time for this game. You just do a ton of prep work, John, like you do for your interviews. You don't wing anything. If you wing it, you are so exposed. If you're just a talking head John, I lose sleep when I mispronounce a name. I lose sleep for a long time when I don't call the kid by his or her correct name. Because that's a sin that should never happen. And it happens on occasion, and I can't live with myself. But getting all that stuff down and then deep diving into the little particulars that will add flavor and add layers to your broadcast. That's what makes a good play-by-play person, in my estimation.
Ann Schatz, you're the best. I wish you well. Stay healthy, and we'll bring you back on.
John, anytime. I love being a part of your show, and at the risk of repeating myself, and I don't care, I am grateful for you and you shining a light on our sports and the women who play them. I hold you close to my heart, my friend. Thank you very much.
There she is, Ann Schatz. You can hear her calling games. I appreciate her. Those are nice words, but the bottom line is, you know, I'm bringing people on the show who deserve that spotlight, including her as a broadcaster and personality. Great stuff from Ann Schatz. I want you to leave it right here. You got the BFT statewide. Well, every day on the program, we do a big splash. Today is no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, every day we talk about splashy stuff, but the bottom line being that, you know, the college football season, everybody kind of worried about what's going to happen. Everybody worried about whether or not we're going to have a college football season and what it might mean. The athletic directors in Power 5 conferences have been talking about multiple scenarios in which they determine whether or not we get a college football season. I think it's interesting to sort of look at the college football season and go, hey, you know, could it exist in a vacuum? Could it exist without fans in the stadium? But the bottom line for me is college football is not college football until we're all relaxed about it. And I think that's the part that's missing from all of these discussions about college football. Are we going to be relaxed when we talk about people being in the stadium, watching the games from home, the players, are they going to be safe? And I think ultimately, that's the thing that matters to me. Can you get the fans in the stadium? Can we watch the games? Because sports is supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to be a diversion. And if we're worried about student athletes getting sick, and if we're worried about whether or not fans can be in the stadium, and we're worried about taking the temperature of players and creating all of these hula hoops that you have to jump through, aren't we just not relaxing? Isn't it more stressful than life, or just as stressful as life? It's worth thinking about. It's the one thing you need to know. Mitch in the Bay Area is called in. He just heard Ann Schatz. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, John. First off, great interview with Ann Schatz. I thought she was fantastic on the air with you. One thing I took from the interview was her rating system, the 5 and 4 and 3-star players.
Yes.
Coming into the college system. I never have believed in that system because a lot of the times you see players that aren't designated a position, but they're ranked 5 or 4-star based on, they're called an athlete. And my problem is, can an athlete run a route? Can an athlete read a defense? Can an athlete, change plays at the line of scrimmage? And, I mean, how do you feel about that whole ranking system?
Yeah, I don't like it. And I don't like it because sometimes the rankings that you get in college football, I think the people who are doing the ranking, sometimes they get a player who's not rated very highly. Then suddenly, if Oregon or a Power 5 conference team that's a top 15 team shows some interest in them, suddenly they develop stars. It's almost like the people doing the evaluating wait to see and wait to talk with the college coaches before determining who gets stars and who doesn't. I think that, data shows us that the vast majority of players who are 4 or 5 star players, more 4 or 5 star players make it to the NFL than 2 or 3 star players. I mean, that's just a fact. But I think some of that is just common sense. I don't know. I think you want athletes on your program, and I think you want the best, most stars possible, but I think you shouldn't get caught up in that too much. The 1 o'clock hour, Punch and Audio is in front of us. I want you to leave it right here. You got the bald faced truth statewide across the network. I hope you're all.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald faced.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.